Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, a Chinese company is on a shopping spree buying up American hotels. We'll update you on some good spring airfare sales. And I have a report on recent travel-related happenings from Washington, D.C.
Steve LaRosa, one of our road reporters, and I teamed up to create a great new segment. The first edition of What's Going On highlights fun things to see and do around Northern California.
At 3:35, we talk to someone who is participating in the great global scavenger hunt we've been talking about. What makes someone want to pay $25,000 to roam the planet in search of who knows what? If you're here at the bottom of the hour, the answer will be revealed.
And at 3:45, we go to the Napa Valley to hear about some great outdoor entertainment for the summer.
It's the first day of spring, a little rainy outside. We thank you for spending part of it with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, another edition of the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, is on the air. I'm Tom Romano. To my left, Mark Hoffman. And Mark, last time you were in the studio with me, we were...
That was dramatic, by the way. That opening there, that was very dramatic.
Thank you very much. We made it rain. It was raining last Sunday.
Rains every time we're on the air.
You know, what if this continues with every Sunday when we come in?
Mm-hmm.
It rains.
I'll tell you what, if we get to May and it's still working out that way, we will have, and hey, listen, if you're on Business 80 and you just missed the traffic report and you're wondering what the traffic's like and you're headed from the north area into downtown, I can just tell you that you're not going to get there anytime soon because we have the KFBK traffic window update here.
There you go.
Yeah. And we can look right out the window and see that we can see all the way back up to El Camino Avenue here because they tore down the hotel. And not the DoubleTree, but the Sacramento Inn, and we can see all the way back up there. And the traffic is pleasantly slow back up the way.
There you go. You can take the Arden exit and go over to the mall for a little while.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to park in the parking lot of the DoubleTree, we'll wave to you out the window.
You can go over to the food circus. Oh, wait a minute. That's been gone for 20 or 30 years. Well, you know. How have you been, Mr. Romano?
I have been great. You want to see something pretty impressive?
Sure.
Okay. Hold on a second here.
Wait.
Check this out.
Taking stuff. Ooh. For those of you watching at home, he's taken a wire and plastic contraption that was wrapped around his ear.
Yes, that's
you have been
that,
to the ear doctor.
I have got my brand new hearing aids, which if you listen to the radio, you'll probably hear about them in some ads that I'm doing. And in fact, they'll probably be on our show here before you know
it. You sold your soul to the devil in order to get a hearing aid, is what you're saying.
Kind of, sort of. Connect Hearing is the company, and this is the... These are the greatest things since sliced bread.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, I tell you who's happier about this.
Your wife.
Yes. You know, oh my God, I've gone days and you haven't had to say again.
Say again.
What was that?
What was that? Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, you can whisper now. You don't have to holler at me.
And
like
what was the name
to.
Again? Connect?
Connect Hearing.
Okay.
They got locations all over the planet.
I see.
Oddly enough, the company, the Connect Hearing office that hooked me up with these, literally is across the parking lot, right next to Nana's Cafe. I couldn't believe it when they told me this is where their office was. Like, you know, hardly walking distance.
Mm-hmm.
I can leave my studio and within 2 minutes of my appointment and be early.
It's amazing that a man only 37 years old is already having problems with his hearing.
Well, it's all that rock and roll music.
Yeah.
And what I refer to as DJ radio headphones. You know, you start off and you're playing the song and you're cranking it up. You know, you start off with your headphones on number 3 at the beginning of your show.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time your show's over, you're like at 9 or 10. And that's pretty typical of people that have been in broadcasting. We're really good at destroying our
own
hearing.
Well, and plus you've been in your share of auditoriums with, announcing the openings of concerts and things like that. And I'm guessing you probably stayed around and watched one or two of those.
I played in a band, and we had the biggest amplifiers you could find. And if you weren't you weren't like standing practically on top of it, or it, I mean, just blaring at you. It was just like,
I got a kick out of later to let the folks know later on in the program, Steve LaRosa has done a, we said it in the headlines, you and Steve did a great new feature segment. And part of that segment, because you've already taped it, part of that segment you talked about being down in the Fillmore District in San Francisco,
oh, yeah.
And he was talking about something was going on down there, and you were all like, yeah, remember, Steve, when we used to hang out down here at the Fillmore? I'm sure there's a backstory there without any doubt.
All right, back from spring training, 2 weeks. Did you have fun?
I did. As I said last week, though, spring training has become big business, and the problem is the later you go in the month, the more crowded it is. The later you go in the month, the more you get to see the players who will be on the team the first of the month.
Yeah.
We are now in the second week of March. We used to go in the third week. In the second week, you're seeing more of the guys who are going to play for the Rivercats.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, if that bothers you, why then that's what happens. But it's spring training is just big business. It is very crowded down there. And it used to be you could get on an airplane and go to spring training and buy your tickets at the ballpark, and you wouldn't have to make a hotel reservation more than a couple days in advance. You do that now, you're going to be out on the street.
Supply and demand.
It is. And so our Giants are not playing particularly well in the spring, but
the
great thing about that is no one will care in about 2 weeks. So.
Well, all right. We are the Travel Guys, and onward and upward we go. Let's fire it up. Travel music, meaning that it's time for the travel news with Markoff.
The travel news. Well, Tom, a lot of times that we've done this on this program a number of times, people who say we know the best time to buy an airline ticket.
Yep.
And so the window tends to vary a little bit, but I looked at this new study that came out a few days ago. This is from the Huffington Post. Let's see who did the study here. Cheap Air spent the last year analyzing, that's a website, about 3 million airline trips. They tracked ticket prices from 320 days before takeoff all the way up until the day before, calculating precisely which day, which each one hit its lowest point. They have decided that 54 days before departure is when you buy an airline ticket. Now, this is important because the last time we had one of these, they said 56 days before. So I think we're narrowing this down kind of at this point.
So basically there's a window there of about what, 50 to 60?
That's what I'm thinking is that, and I've seen before 6 to 7 weeks, which would be 42 to 49 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you say a month and a half to 2 months is generally, if you're on a heavy route, a heavy flight. Now, if you're going on the day before Thanksgiving or something like that, I'm going to suggest that you move that window up. But just in general, a month and a half to 2 months seems to be kind of an agreement. Okay, Chinese hotel company buying up American hotels. You're a Starwood guy. This comes into play.
All right, let's hear what you got.
This company, Anbang Insurance Group, A-N-B-A-N-G, a few weeks ago announced a $6.5 billion deal to buy a set of luxury hotels in the United States, which included the Loews Santa Monica Beach and the historic Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego. That deal has already been consummated. So last week, this same company, Anbang, jumps up and says, Marriott, I know you were going to buy Starwood here, but maybe not so much. We're interested, and we have a better offer. So now they have offered the Starwood. This is a Chinese company have offered Starwood. They want to buy Starwood, and they've made a pretty good offer. Marriott has not said yet whether they were counter with another offer of their own.
I had been on the phone over the last week talking to the people at Starwood and Sheraton in regards to my SBG points and all of that. And I asked on a number of occasions, when are we going to be able to access Marriott property? And they says, we have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Starwood would like it to work out with Marriott, but you know, you have shareholders and stuff involved here. So you have to, you know, you kind of sort of have to take the best deal, or at least your board of directors, your shareholders are going to have to vote on it. So very interesting. The Starwood stock was spiking on Friday because this offer was better than the Marriott offer. Okay, Josh Groban, you know who he is.
Absolutely.
Heartthrob, he is going to make his Broadway debut in a play called, in a musical called The Great Comet. This fall, it will debut in October. According to press notes, it is based on a scandalous 70-page slice of War and Peace. So,
whoa.
It's a love story. Josh Groban coming to Broadway this fall. Aaron Andrews, the sportscaster, we've talked about this a couple weeks. Hotels are each, it seems like almost every day now, announcing how security will be tighter. Things will be, you shouldn't be able, Tom, to call into a hotel and say, which room is Mr. Hoffman in? You should not be able to get an answer. Now, you should be able to get the hotel to, I'd like to speak with Mr. Hoffman, please. Will you connect me? And they will connect you, but they will not tell you what they're supposed to, not tell you what room I'm in or give you any information. They'll connect you. If I want to share my room number with you, then that will happen. Also, some hotels now are pre-blocking rooms. And so sometimes somebody might call in and say, gee, you know, I want to be close to Mr. Hoffman.
Right.
Well, the hotel really shouldn't be acknowledging that request. That request should actually come from Mr. Hoffman himself, who would call in and say, Mr. Romano would like to have a room that's very close to mine. Could you make sure that that happens? So so if you find with hotels, your favorite hotel, things are just not quite, don't seem to be quite the same as they used to be. It's because this hotel in Nashville took a huge, the Marriott Corporation is going to, I don't know if they own this hotel or not, but somebody's going to take a huge financial hit.
Right.
And so there's probably going to be some security that's just going to be just a tad tighter. From
I think it'll benefit us all.
SeaWorld is getting rid of the killer whales.
I know, yes.
Public opinion comes to bear, no matter what side of the issue that you're on.
Yeah, what side of the issue are you on?
Having watched the CNN program, Blackfish, mm-hmm. I would call into, I would just say, as a quasi-journalist, I would call into question SeaWorld's morals, ethics, intent. Their intent. Yeah, that would be what I would talk about.
I think they see it too, and that's why things are happening.
And
like
they've decided to go in a little bit different direction and try to portray themselves as the good guy instead of the bad guy. Anyway, if you want to go see killer whales at SeaWorld, this is the last generation that they will be there, and SeaWorld plans to phase the shows out. They haven't said exactly how and when they're going to do that, but if that's your thing, you best go this summer because there might not be another opportunity. World's 10 most expensive cities. Quickly, what do you think the first one is in the world?
10 most expensive, New York.
Seventh.
I don't know. France.
Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Paris. France being a country, of course.
Yes. Paris.
Fifth. Singapore tops the list. Singapore, Zurich, Switzerland, Hong Kong, Geneva. Two Switzerlands in the top five. Paris, London, New York, Copenhagen, Seoul, South Korea is ninth, and Los Angeles, which I always thought, I've never looked at Los Angeles as an expensive city, but now that I think about it, because there's so many places to stay that are less expensive than the suburbs.
San Francisco wasn't even on the top 10?
Not in the top 10, can you believe that? And finally, last item today here on travel sales, a couple good airfare sales going on. We don't talk about these too much, but Southwest has a particularly good sale going on right now. It's Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays from the end of March until the 15th of June, and Alaska Airlines also has a pretty good sale going on, also Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. Theirs is only for the month of April, but their ticket prices are pretty good. The low fares are only found on selected flights. So Alaska and Southwest, if you're planning some travel this spring, this would be a good time to buy your ticket. And that's the travel news for today.
Follow along with the Travel Guys at TravelGuysRadio.com. Pictures and links to the stuff we're going to be talking about on each show can be found there, as well as podcasts of previous shows, also available at iHeartRadio, too. All right, where to next, Mark?
Turn the microphone back on there. I thought you were going to take us to the break there. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and we've got a guest from Fiji that we're hoping is going to show up at some point in time here. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
You bet. We're on the road again with the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, you got some information for us in regards to Washington, D.C., and what's going on for us
travelers. I spent some time back there this week, once a year. We've talked about this before. My segment of the travel industry goes back and with an organization called U.S. Travel, which is kind of the lobbying arm, if you will, of the, I don't think they call it lobbying anymore, because lobbying is kind of a bad word. I think they call it something else. but that's what it is. You're back there trying to influence people's decision, and you're trying to get them to vote for something that that you support. And Chris Elliott had a really good article this week on his website, and we've recommended this to folks before. And if you go to travelguysradio.com, you'll see Chris's picture on the homepage, and you can click there, and you can get this newsletter every day. If you're an active traveler and you're concerned about prices and things, and you're always trying to get the best deal, why Chris's website is one that you would really enjoy. He wrote an article this week called "It's Springtime for Travel Rights, But Will It Last?" And what he was talking about is that there have been in recent weeks a number of things in Congress that have been introduced that have been very pro-traveler. For example, we mentioned that Claire McCaskill, the senator from Missouri, had introduced a bill to get rid of resort fees, that they would have to be folded into the price of the, and it would have to be displayed and presented differently and more transparently than it is now. And there would be specific rules as opposed to the point now where people kind of do, it's kind of the wild, wild west out there. That was introduced a month ago. We haven't heard a single thing about that bill. And when I was in Washington, D.C. last week and asked several congressmen and staffers of senators and congressmen, nobody knew anything about it.
Wow.
So that's not good news, because what that means is that, as someone predicted, the independent hotel owners, the chain hotels are done with resort fees. They've had so many complaints and so many problems, they just as soon get rid of them. They don't benefit the parent company any. They benefit the franchise owners because of the tax laws and stuff. So the independent hotel franchises got their lobbying people to Washington, D.C. right away, and they've put the kibosh on this, and it's whether it ever makes it to a committee hearing or anything like that is anybody's guess. But this is what happens when something that involves, and especially with the airlines, they tend to jump up too. We're trying to get, one of the things we were lobbying for, Tom, is to increase the user fee at the airport. Right now you pay $4.50 when you fly out of Sacramento, and that money goes to the Sacramento airport, and they decide what to do with it. Mm-hmm. Some people consider that a tax. Other people consider it a user fee. It's only charged to people who buy tickets and use the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So hypothetically, you would think that airlines would be in favor of something that would improve the airports, because the airlines certainly have been, you know, hasn't taken any energy at all to charge fees to all kinds of fees to us all over the place. But interestingly enough, the airlines are not in favor of, it's called a passenger facility charge. And the travel industry would like to see that raised to $8.50 from $4.50. It'd be $4 more a person. Now, if you've ever gone through LaGuardia Airport in New York, or a better example would be an airport I traversed yesterday, Houston, where half the airport is beautiful with spacious walkways and everything, and half of it is a dungeon. And so airports, this fee hasn't been raised or adjusted for inflation for 20 years. So airports who rely on this money to retire debt, to build new facilities, et cetera. We have a nice new facility here in Sacramento, but it's not paid for. And it's a little bit of an albatross to the travelers here because it's not paid for. The airlines have to pay more money, and that's, we've talked about all this before. So it would be a good thing, from my point of view, if people paid a few dollars more each time they flew out of an airport. You would only pay that twice when you each time you boarded this, started a trip.
Mm-hmm.
So that would allow the airports to be able to have better facilities, period. I mean, it's... And people like me, I use the airplane and the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So I want them both to be good. So that was one of the things that we were lobbying for. We were also lobbying for an extension of, there's a visa waiver program that allows people from 40 different countries to come here and to be in, to come into the country without having to get a visa. But their country, from a security standpoint, must have meet certain security requirements. Those people are still vetted. They just don't have to get a visa. But because the way they're vetted is so strong in their own country and the law enforcement connection with our own law enforcement is good, mm-hmm. we could let those people into the country without being concerned about security, which, of course, nobody wants to let people into the country who are going to do bad things.
Right.
So those were the two issues that we were big on, the visa waiver and the fact that airports should have a little bit more money. But there are all kinds of things like Claire McCaskill's bill. We've talked about it on this program. One of the congressmen put a thing in the FAA bill to try to say seats have to be a certain width and they have to be a certain length apart. Well, that lasted about 20 minutes. It didn't even make it through what they call a markup session for the bill. But there are all kinds of different things that have been introduced that might help air travelers a little bit.
Was there any more discussion with Doris Matsui in regards to safety of passengers on cruise ships? This is one of the subjects that we've approached more than once on this show.
I am so glad you asked. I met with Doris's staff. Was my last meeting on Thursday afternoon with Jonathan from her staff. And indeed, she has introduced Part 2 of the Cruise Passenger Safety Act, Protection Act. And I have invited her to come on this program. And so I hope in the next few weeks that she will be on here. Her staff indicated she'd be very interested. And so hopefully Doris will come on and explain to our listeners what protections that she is trying to provide cruise passengers. You know, cruise lines really don't answer to much of anybody. They sail the open seas. They're flagged in another country for tax reasons. And they until Doris came along and made them answerable to some rules, they were basically answerable to nobody. So it's not a bad idea, and I think it makes me kind of proud that someone from Sacramento, and Doris she's looking for support and stuff like this, so we have to help her get it out there and get more people aware of it so that other travel groups can support additional protections for cruise line passengers.
Awesome. All right. So that wrap it up?
Well, I think so. That's kind of just about everything. There's a big FAA reauthorization bill, and the two houses of Congress can't come together on it. So what they're going to do is they're going to create an emergency 3-month, stop me if you've heard this before, bill that will keep the airports open and the air traffic control towers staffed for 3 months while they sit down and try to figure this out again. Not that they haven't had, you know, 2 or 3 years to figure it out in the first time. So sometimes the Washington, D.C. stuff is not all that interesting. But I will tell you this. You go to Washington, as I did this week, and some of it is a zoo, but there are a lot of really good, decent people there who are really trying hard to make the system work. And it might not be perfect, but it's the only system that we have. And isn't it amazing? I think of this every year, and I thought about this Thursday as I walked off Capitol Hill, that we live in a country where you can go and petition your government and ask them to do something differently. Many people don't have that privilege.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Dina Kodiak with the news next, and then off on another Travel Guys adventure right after the news.
If you ever plan to motor west,
hey, Romano, get in here. I'm sitting here looking at my phone, and all of a sudden I hear some travel music come on. I look over there.
It must mean it's time for the Travel Guys.
Didn't see you anywhere there. Yeah. So, you know.
Our guest is on the line.
She is. She is. This is so cool. We talked about a couple times in the travel news about a scavenger hunt that goes around the planet. And only a dozen teams can be a part of this. It's not inexpensive. And how fortuitous that one of my acquaintances, a fellow tour operator, has entered this scavenger hunt and is about to take off on it. And so not only do we have to just sit here and say, wow, that would be really cool. We know somebody who's going to be a part of it.
This is really cool. And I'm so jealous.
Sue Biggs is joining us on the line. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. We've talked about the scavenger hunt, and my mailbox, the first time we talked about it, was full of people asking, you know, how can I find out about that? And of course, it's not inexpensive. The Global Scavenger Hunt 2016. Sue, you're going with your daughter, I understand.
I am. Yes, the two of us are going, and may I tell you our ages?
Yes, please.
Okay. She's 52 and I'm 73. So
holy cow.
We are pretty much at the top of the age bracket. Usually they're 15 to 75, but we're looking forward to a great time.
But I have to tell people who are listening here that Sue is not your typical 73-year-old. She's in pretty good shape. And did I see something here that, I mean, on this trip, you're going to 10 different countries. They're not telling you where you're going. What if you're going someplace where you have to have shots or, you know, things like that? I mean, how do you know what to do?
Yes, we are going to 10 different countries. We're starting in Mexico City, and we're ending in Washington, D.C., taking a lap around the world, the long way, of course. Shots, yes. We did have to get some shots. Number one, we had to get a yellow fever shot, which told us we are going to Africa, a certain part of Africa and a certain part of South America where those are required to go.
Now, is this the first time that this is put on, a company puts this on, right? This is a commercial operation.
Yes, it is. This is their 12th year to do it.
Okay. And since we haven't heard about the death of any contestants the first 11 years, I'm guessing it's gone fairly well.
We're trusting we're going to make it home alive if the two of us don't kill each other first, you know, because we're going to be really tight. And it is 12 teams of two people. And so we're really looking forward to a great time together.
I have to ask you, Sue, now, tell me a little bit about your background and your passion in regards to, you know, just your lifestyle and such that would have compelled you to want to go ahead and do this worldwide scavenger hunt.
Well, I'm in the tour business and the travel business. So over the years, this around the world trips have caught my eye, but I never have pursued it. And this one really caught my eye, A, because it's a competition, and B, because it's not 6 months, and we felt like we could afford it financially, so we decided that we would do it. We loved the competition.
There you go. Now, that was kind of what I wanted to find out about you, is are you a very competitive family? Do you guys play a lot of games and do stuff?
We do, and we have done that since our children were very small, so the whole family is competitive, so we jumped right on this.
Now, Sue, there's a charity aspect to this also.
There is. It's called the Great Escape Foundation, and they like to raise about $500,000 for each scavenger hunt that has operated, and thus far, they have helped 1,700 families in 56 countries with interest-free loans, and these are cattle farmers, merchants, cooperation groups together. They've also built 9 co-ed elementary schools and 1 girls' secondary school. Plus, they have built a nurses' training center and a medical clinic in the nomadic areas. And this year, for 2016, they're hoping that the money will go to build an elementary school in Africa.
Wow, wow. So this is social good in addition to running around the planet.
It is. It's great.
Now, go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, what's the grand prize here?
Oh, the grand prize. The winner gets a free trip the next year. And, of course, that's our goal. Now, as we continue on our tour or our adventure, we may decide that that's a little too much for us and we'll back off. But for right now, we're going for the prize.
Now, awesome. Sue, what was the entry fee to get into the contest?
Per team, it's $25,000.
Wow. So this is like, this is not something that you just do every day.
No.
You know?
However, there is one team that has done it at least 7 times because we saw that they were first, second, or third 7 different times.
Have they ever won?
Yes.
Okay. Aha, aha. So you're up against it. So how do we, on the Travel Guys, how do we follow you? Now, this starts in mid-April, right?
Yes. We depart our home on April the 14th, and we get back May the 8th.
Okay, so how can we, that's like about 3 weeks, so we want to be able to follow along. Are you going to do a blog or anything like that? Or
we are, and we are called the number two, Global Junkies.
Two Global Junkies. Okay, what's your daughter's name, Sue?
Her name is Wendy.
Wendy.
Uh-huh.
I think that is awesome. Sue is with Custom Holidays. It's a tour company. You're in Michigan, is that right,
Yes,
Sue?
We are.
And Sue and I have known each other for a long time. And Tom, I think this is the coolest thing.
Sue and I think you'll probably agree. Do you know Clayton?
Yes.
Don't you think Mark and Clayton ought to do this?
I really do.
Yeah, they're certainly in the demographics there. You know, Mark goes to the gym. He's only passed out in the parking lot of the gym once that I know of. And we know that Clayton, like, walked across
Spain, yes.
Spain,
the El Camino de Real. Yes.
It's only $25,000 for a for a team.
Yes, sir. If you keep babbling, we're not going to get the rest of this program in. Sue, it's fascinating. I'm really pleased that we know somebody who's going along. We're going to follow you, and if you get anywhere or something like that where you can call us or something like that, why, we would obviously love to hear from you. But when you get back, we are definitely going to talk to you about the Global Scavenger Hunt. It's globalscavengerhunt.com, or there's a link to it on the Travel Guys radio show site. And we will talk to you soon. Good, safe travels, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Sue Biggs with Custom Holidays with us. And we got our other guest on the phone there, Luis. Steven is with us on the phone. Steven, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Steven with Transcendence Theater Company.
Hi, Steven. We're moving from one guest to the next there. Steven is with say it again to Steven, Trans?
Yeah, I'm with Transcendence Theater Company. We do the Broadway Under the Stars concerts in Jack London State Park.
Right. We missed you last week. I understand you had a little water in office there.
What is the, Steven, for the schedule for this coming year, for folks who are not looking at it online, give us a few highlights.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just like every year, we do these big Broadway concerts with all these Broadway performers straight from New York in the vineyards and the winery, the open-air winery ruins in Jack London State Park. Our concerts begin on June 17th this summer, and they run all the way through September 11th.
Now, how do folks get tickets to come down, and what does a concert cost? And give us an idea of what they will see when they get down there.
Yeah, absolutely. So our best website link is bestnightever.org. Again, that's bestnightever.org. And the cost is anywhere from $42, which is our general admission ticket, to VIP seats, which are about $130, which include like glasses of wine and great parking and a big lounge ahead of the show. But the really cool thing is it's like a full Sonoma experience in one evening. We have 2.5 hours of pre-show picnicking and wine and food trucks in the park. It's the park where Jack London actually wrote a lot of his books, and he passed away. And after 2.5 hours of pre-show picnicking and food trucks and all that, we have 2 hours of a performance with all these Broadway professionals in these old winery ruins. It's actually what USA Today's 10 Best named one of the outdoor concert venues you shouldn't miss in the country, number two.
Now, do the concerts regularly sell out? Is this something that folks need to get tickets for in advance, or can they just show up and are tickets available on a walk-up basis? Tell me about that.
Yeah, actually, our Saturday nights sell out pretty regularly, so I would definitely encourage you to get tickets in advance. We do have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night of performances available, so you can always call our box office and see before you go to see if you'd want to if you want to do a walk-up or if we're sold out.
Now, Broadway Under the Stars obviously is an outdoor venue. How should folks be planning on dressing? What do they expect weather-wise?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, our shows, our events really begin at 5 p.m. with that 2.5 hours of pre-show. And typically it's very warm and sunny and gorgeous in Sonoma, as it is almost all the time. And then at about 7:30 or 8, as the show begins, the sun starts going down. The whole mood turns much more romantic and breathtaking. And that's where you want to make sure you have a blanket or some warmer clothes just in case it gets chilly. But we provide all the chairs and seating in the concert venue itself. That's a common question people have. So you don't need to bring a chair with you.
Wow. And it really is, Tom. It's a very historical. It's a great venue. I mean, I can see why USA Today put it in the top 10 because it really, I mean, I haven't been to all the venues in the country, but this really is a great venue. The shows, 4 different shows this summer?
Yeah, 4 different shows. We start off with This Magic Moment. Each of our shows is an eclectic mix of Broadway, popular music, contemporary music, tap dancing, all sorts of different, kind of the best of the best of what all these 20 to 24 Broadway performers do in each show. And the first one's called This Magic Moment. The second one is called Fantastical Family Night. It features some small performances by our kids' camp, but it's all geared towards creativity and families. And then we do Dance the Night Away in August. And we always end our summer with a big gala celebration concert that we do in September.
If you go to travelguysradio.com, you'll see right in the middle of the page, we've got a link to Broadway Under the Stars, and there's some great pictures there that will kind of give you a feel as to what this great venue is really all about.
Get your tickets well in advance. Steven, thank you for a little bit of a recap here of what's going on at Jack London State Park. You guys have a wonderful season this summer.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You guys, too.
All right. Coming up here after our short break in about 3 and 3.5 minutes, Steve LaRosa joins us, and we're going to do one of our very first segment.
This is really cool.
Thank you, Mark.
I think this is really cool.
A brand new segment on the Travel Guys called What's Going On? So keep it here.
Travel Guys, we have all kinds of toys in this radio station and all kinds of wonderful things that you can do. See, I told you we needed to get back in here.
Well, I thought he was going to go right to the bit.
Well, right? No, that's why we were. That's why I said we were going to.
We're going to talk.
We just talk
we're
for. We,
talk
we were just talk for a minute okay. About what this is.
We're pretty loose radio show.
This is a
it?
Collage of things that are going on around Northern California, and this is Steve's idea that he would put this together, and you, the two of you guys, worked really hard on this with a lot of sound effects and cool things. But basically, it's a great look at all the things that are some really cool things that are going on around Northern California in the next few weeks.
The unmistakable song stylings, my friends, of Marvin Gaye, signaling it's time once again for Steve LaRosa's report on entertainment in Northern California. Here on the Travel Guys, it's sometimes he goes beyond California. So, Steve, tell us what's going on.
Thanks for asking, Tom. Actually, there is a lot of great stuff coming up in the ensuing weeks, so let's get right to it. First stop is San Francisco.
If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair.
Well, thanks for the thoughts, guys, but the flowers in the hair thing, totally unnecessary. We are off to the 49th annual Cherry Blossom Festival. Each year, over 200,000 people attend this street fair. Glad the band could attend, showcasing the color and grace of the Japanese culture and the diversity of the Japanese-American community. And the beautiful thing is this event is free and open to the public.
Well, the Cherry Blossom Festival will be held on Saturday and Sunday, April 9th and 10th, and also April 16th and 17th in Japantown. And the festival will be held in the Post Street between Laguna and Fillmore Streets, where we used to hang out, Steve, there at the Fillmore Auditorium, right?
There you go.
There will be food booths, cultural performances, martial arts, live band, and the annual Queen program.
Okay, now it's time for a big U-turn, and we're heading up the hill to Grass Valley. We're going to the Center for the Arts on Main Street in Grass Valley. It's an evening with Blame Sally. What do you think, Tom?
I love that. That's my kind of music.
Well, it's actually four women from the Bay Area who began meeting up several times a week to share dinner and trade songs. Slowly, they carved out their sound, which is rooted in folk, Americana, and country.
Remember that name, Blame Sally. So that's Saturday, April 2nd, 8 p.m., Center for the Arts in Grass Valley. And details at thecenterforthearts.org for tickets, also at travelguysradio.com.
So, I'm thinking let's continue up the hill to South Shore to the Mont Blue Theater inside the Mont Blue Casino.
Okay, all aboard. I'm driving.
Well done, my friend. Nice wheel. On Monday, March 28th at 7 p.m., the Banff Mountain Film Festival World Tour comes to South Shore. Now, Tom, the Banff Mountain Film Festival is one of the largest and most prestigious mountain festivals in the world.
Really?
You're going to experience the highlights of adventure sports such as climbing, kayaking, alpine skiing, and mountain expeditions. And you'll also visit remote cultures and some of the world's last great wild places. You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.
Oh, yeah, and to travelguysradio.com, got a link there to the tickets as well.
Thank you so much. So let's head back to Sacramento. On Saturday, April 9th, 8 p.m. at the Crest Theater, it's 1,000 Kisses Deep, the songs of Leonard Cohen.
It's coming through a hole in the air, from those nights in Tiananmen Square.
It's coming from the field, and it ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there.
At the Crest Theater, 1013 K Street, the all-star lineup includes 13 musicians and a poet. This is interesting. A Thousand Kisses Deep. It's the songs of Leonard Cohen, a successful creative production of KVMR news director and Foothills promoter Paul Emery. Paul, actually joining us on the line right now. Please tell us about the lineup, the show. How was all of this inspired?
Well, Leonard Cohen, as many people know, made a remarkable comeback in the last 5 or 6 years after being out of the public spotlight for about 10 years. And I went to a couple of his concerts, and his music is just completely unique and extremely inspiring to many people. So I thought I'd like to put together a theater show of featuring the music of Leonard Cohen. So I got all the songs together and called my favorite musicians and singers, and the next thing we knew, we had a show. And that was actually 5 years ago.
So for somebody who's never been to the show, Paul, tell us a little bit about it.
The show is, it's two different segments. The first segment is acoustic Leonard Cohen songs, songs like Suzanne and, you know, That's No Way to Say Goodbye, a bunch of his favorites. And the second half is with a full band, with a full six-piece band. And we have a three-piece backup vocalist. And we feature about four different singers that sing the lead songs. It's to be emphasized that nobody in the show is attempting to be Leonard Cohen. It's not one of those tribute shows where you wear the clothes and try to sound like the person. It's more like we just have this incredible group of actually 14 musicians and one poet who are just lending their time to doing our own versions of Leonard Cohen music.
Our guest, Paul Emery, A Thousand Kisses Deep, the songs of Leonard Cohen. Thanks for joining us, Paul, here on the Travel Guys. If you want tickets, go to travelguysradio.com. It'll link you to where tickets are available at crestsacramento.com.
Right you are, Tom. So let's swing over to Davis now.
We're going to go by horseback this time.
Saddle them up, yo.
Okay.
Why are we going to Davis,
it's
Tom?
It's the 102nd picnic day on Saturday, April the 16th.
Yeah, a picnic day, as everybody knows, is one of the biggest events in the area. They have more than 200 different events taking place that day. And the great thing is it's free and the parking's free, too.
Got the Battle of the Marching Bands.
The Doxy Derby Race.
Parades.
Cockroach races. Now, there's one for you, Tom, the cockroach races.
Oh, my gosh. A lot of entertainment, and, of course, for all the those of you that might have kids that are in FFA, there is a major a judging contest for the FFA kids that come from all over the state of California.
And, Tom, you have personal experience.
Yes, I was in the FFA, and I used to judge at Davis every year. It was a big deal. Had a perfect score in my category of judging.
Which was?
Milk judging. Don't ask. Okay? Are you ready to head on down the street? All right.
Next stop is Sutter Creek.
We're going by airplane this time.
Okay. Yeah, and here we are landing at the Sutter Creek Intergalactical Airport for...
Steve, are you telling me that the Rolling Stones are gigging at Sutter Creek?
Well, no, that would be authorized, Tom. This is the unauthorized Rolling Stones.
I thought it would sound a little different.
Yeah, they're appearing at the Sutter Creek Theater. It's a great little theater on Main Street. It's just a few hundred seats.
There you go.
Now, this is going to be April 16th at 8 p.m., and where do you get tickets, Tom?
You go to travelguysradio.com, and we'll link you up to the website for sutterstreettheater.com, and you can get your ticks and your kicks.
On Route 66.
No, with the unauthorized Rolling Stones.
There you go.
There you go. All right, that's it for this edition of What's Going On. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you next time on another edition of What's Going On.
That was pretty cool, Mr. Romano, I have to say.
Well, thank you.
You and Steve did a good job.
Steve was pretty inspired. He did a great job of putting, he did all the heavy lifting.
He's going to do that again, and links to all of that stuff, I promise you, they are all listed under the description of the show at travelguysradio.com, because I'm the guy who looked them all up today and figured them all out there.
Well, thank you.
Also, our winner for this week, $100 winner, because we had a $200 winner last week, so we go back to $100. For the first time, we have a winner, Tom, from someone who just entered. You don't have to travel with Sports Leisure Vacations to enter this contest. You can go to travelguysradio.com and fill out an entry blank. Just put contest in the entry form. So Carol Obohoski, O-B-O-H-O-S-K-I, is our winner this week. Call Sports Leisure Vacations Monday or Tuesday and claim your $100 travel card just for listening to the Travel Guys. Next week.
Yes, next week.
Amy Lewis is going to join us.
That's right, on our Easter Sunday version of the Travel Guys. Amy, if you've listened to her on the radio, you probably heard her mention that her and her husband, Stuart, visited Moab, Utah. And boy, we're going to get a play-by-play discussion about their vacation here on the radio.
Easter Sunday with the Travel Guys next Sunday at 3 o'clock. See you then. Have a good day.